Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Stitch Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner. With Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show. I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game. Cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Once again, this is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. We are pleased to be with you. It is January 20th, 2019, and we have a lot to talk about, as always, here on Carson's Corner. If you want to be a part of the program, you can. Give me a call at 347-326-9749. That's 347-326-9749. We have the Facebook live chat going on as well. Please feel free to chime in using the Facebook live stream chat feature. We appreciate everybody's participation in the live stream. And during the course of the program, I'm going to be showing you some highlights of last night's ESPN Plus show, of course, UFC Brooklyn on ESPN Plus. This is the first installment of the UFC and ESPN, and according to Dana White, they murdered all expectations. Okay, this is the biggest event, according to Dana White, on ESPN Plus. So this is, you know, of course he's going to say that. I mean, we don't know. You know, I don't know how you'd measure that. I don't know what they're talking about. They obviously don't have the ratings yet. We don't know. But tonight I'm going to be talking about UFC on ESPN Plus, UFC Brooklyn, UFC Fight Night, whatever the hell it's called. It's got 17 different names, folks. But I watched most of the card. I wasn't able to watch the main event, and I wasn't able to watch the Greg Hardy versus Alan Crowder fight because I had to go to work. But obviously everybody kind of knows the results of those fights. And as usual, when the UFC has an event, and I'm available because I work on Saturdays. I work a second job, so I got to go into my second job at Saturdays at 12 a.m. to 8 a.m. And by the time the main event rolls around, by the time the co-main event rolls around, guess what? I got to go to work. It's not my fault. There's nothing I could do about it, but that's just the way it is. You know, I have to go, and sometimes I miss these main events and co-main events. If there's a real important fight, or a fight that I'm really interested in, or a card that I'm really interested in, I'll make sure I take off of my second job and I'll watch the whole event in its entirety. So I got to watch it, and as usual, I was on Twitter sounding off. And I got to tell you, we do very, very well on Twitter. Typically when we have these UFC events, we get 30, 40,000 impressions, which may not seem like a lot to some of the guys out there, to some of the people out there, you know, that post on Twitter a lot more than we do and have been around a lot longer on Twitter than we have. But that is a very, very good amount of people to reach for one day. We're very, very happy with that. Like last night, we got 30,000 Twitter impressions, and I didn't tweet all that much. I maybe, you know, tweeted 10 or 12 times, you know, during the course of the event there. I think the biggest tweet that I had last night was lambasting Roxanne Matafari's corner for yelling at her. I don't know if you guys caught that or not. I certainly caught that when Joanne Calderwood was fighting this violence queen. What's her name? Lipsky. Ariana Lipsky. I don't know how do you pronounce the first name and whatnot. But you know, the corner man was yelling at her, get the ice in here and whatnot. Just frantic, very, very disrespectful to Roxy. Everybody likes Roxy and Matafari. I don't think there's anybody out there that has a bad word to say about her. Maybe Juliana Pena or something. I don't know. But typically, everybody likes her. She's very nice. That's why they call her the happy warrior, right? She's very active on social media. She's been on the underground for years. And you just don't do that. You don't talk to her like that, you know. I mean, there are some female fighters that you could probably talk to like that. Maybe you may get a cheer from some people online, but you really shouldn't talk to Roxanne like that. And I posted that, and Roxanne responded that she forgot the ice, and she kind of, you know, took blame for what happened. But I guess, you know, it can get hectic in the corners, you know, cornermen and you know, trainers and what, and cut me in, they're under a lot of duress there for that half a minute or minute or whatever it is. But feelings first, folks, attitude first. You got to treat people right under any circumstances. And so that was really my biggest tweet last night. You know, I had a bunch of other tweets concerning other fights, but the main thing I want to start out with today, the main aggravation that I had yesterday with this fight card was this guy Stephen A. Smith. This guy Stephen A. Smith, he is an absolute ignoramus when it comes to mixed martial arts. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that this guy Stephen A. Smith doesn't watch the sport of mixed martial arts, has really, really very little interest in the sport of mixed martial arts. And the only reason why he's covering this sport to begin with is because he works for ESPN. And ESPN, they want to bring these mainstream, these, you know, quote-unquote mainstream talking heads, and they want to offer their analysis and whatnot. They want to show how the UFC has become so mainstream and you know, so many people are interested in it, so therefore it has attracted the interest of people like Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman and whatnot. And when I see these guys talking about it, I mean, you know, more specifically Stephen A. Smith, because it's so obvious he doesn't know anything about the sport. It's so obvious that he's only commenting on it because he works for ESPN, and he is the liaison, the ESPN liaison to MMA. It's really insulting to my intelligence. It's insulting to all of your intelligence. They think they could just put a loudmouth on there and it's going to fly with everybody. You know, they think that, you know, he talks loud and talks fast and talks at the audience and whatnot, that how somehow equates to good coverage, a good analyst to have on the air. It's absolutely ridiculous. And that was for a lot of people. If you go on the forums, and there isn't too many issues that the MMA community, which, as we pointed out on this program, is largely white and largely right-wing, which, again, you know, we don't want to talk about politics here on the program, but it's absolutely true that this is a white upper middle class to upper middle class fan base here. Eddie Goldman goes so far as to declare mixed martial arts as a white supremacist alternative to boxing. I think there's some truth to that. But, you know, everybody across the board was disappointed in Stephen A. Smith. Everybody's like, this guy is just repulsive. He doesn't belong commenting on mixed martial arts. And, you know, look, if ESPN wants to have him, that's great. I don't follow basketball. I follow boxing somewhat, but not really that much. I don't follow other sports. So I don't know. You know, maybe Stephen A. Smith is a great commentator when it comes to those sports. You know, maybe people really, really appreciate him, and he does a good job. I don't know. I also know they have him on Fox News a couple times, or I've seen him on Fox News, you know, talking about race issues. And so they got him, like, all over the place. He's like this token guy that they have there, you know, that can speak loud, talks loud, and maybe ruffle a few feathers. I don't know. I don't really follow the guy. But what I do know is this guy, Stephen A. Smith, does not belong commenting on MMA, and it's really insulting that ESPN would have, you know, guys like this and guys like Max Kellerman, who it's just frustrating to me because I've been around the sport since 2000. Okay, I've been involved with the sport since 2000. I've competed in the sport. I don't claim to be an expert. I don't know what is an MMA expert. I mean, how can anybody say anybody's an expert on MMA? It doesn't exist. It's all relative. It's relative in the mind of the beholder as far as what constitutes an expert. But I've been following the sport, and I've been connected to the sport for decades, and nobody can argue that. Nobody can argue that I haven't covered the sport. They can't argue that I don't have an appreciation for the sport, and I've been there, you know, from almost the beginning. And you got guys like Eddie Goldman who predates me, and Eddie Goldman really doesn't cover MMA anymore. But this guy predates pretty much everybody. And then you got guys like, you know, John Perez. I mean, you got so many people out there that have been involved with the sport and are more deserving to comment on the sport than a clown like Stephen A. Smith, who gets everything wrong. He mispronounces names. He misspeaks all the time. I mean, come on, what is this? You know, so that to me, I just was really, really frustrated in seeing him there. And it's unfortunate because, you know, look, even some of these people that are absolutely repulsive, from the MMA community, the pencil necks, you know. I mean, you know, if you put Stephen A. Smith up against one of these pencil neck, you know, MMA reporters and these nerds, like a lot of the nerds you see from MMA fighting, these guys are like 130 pounds and they're just a bunch of lightweights. They're nerds. They're geeks. You know, it's like Ariel Helwani, you know, a perfect example. I mean, you know, Ariel is supposedly, you know, the best of the worst, but he's not a real commanding presence there. He's not a real personality, you know, Ariel Helwani. I mean, somebody said on the Underground years ago that he looks like he should be selling cell phones at a kiosk in the mall. You know, he just has that look about himself and whatnot. And so, you know, from that point, you know, if you're looking for a presence, if you're looking for someone who's loud, who's boisterous, and whatnot, maybe you go with Stephen A. Smith. But, you know, I can almost appreciate one of these pencil necks, you know, one of these MMA nerds, because at least they, you know, no matter how stupid they are, no matter how, you know, fake and just, you know, just ridiculous they are, at least they have some allegiance to mixed martial arts. You know what I mean? They're not like, they're not somebody that's just covering the sport just because, you know, they work for ESPN and whatnot. And ESPN wants to put a few, you know, mainstream faces on their cameras. I mean, so, you know, that was just a big, big no for me. And I hope that, you know, for everybody's sake, they reevaluate as to whether or not they want to have Stephen A. Smith on the program in the future. Now, you juxtapose that with a guy like Trevor Whitman. Trevor Whitman is somebody we've had on the program before. He's a very, very intelligent man. He's a great coach. He's coached many, many UFC fighters and former UFC champions. He's revolutionized or you know, contributed to the betterment of sport equipment, mitts and gloves, and he's got his own lines there. And he is the exact opposite of Stephen A. Smith. Very, very calm, very, very soft-spoken, attempting to give the audience some sort of idea of what's going on, you know, during the corner, during the between rounds and strategy and whatnot, and really serves a good purpose and is really, really in a good role there in ESPN. Now, some people were saying that on Twitter, they were saying that, you know, that's the reason Trevor Whitman alone is worth the price of UFC Plus. I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but it's a much, much different ball game because, you know, this is a guy who's been around the sport, you know, forever, who's coached UFC champions and is one of the best trainers, one of the best coaches in the game. And it makes sense to put him on there in between rounds. And he has a lot of credibility. Whereas these ESPN clowns, these guys like Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, they don't belong commenting on our sport. And everybody out there should feel that way. Everybody out there should be like, you know, you have to earn the right to comment on mixed martial arts. You have to have an allegiance to this sport and whatnot. And we don't see that with guys like Stephen A. Smith. So that was one of my biggest pet peeves yesterday from that standpoint. Production-wise, I thought it was actually pretty good. I thought, you know, I mean, I don't put too much stock in production, really. You know, to me, the graphics and the desk and you know, the camera angles or whatever, all the stuff that goes into production, it may be somewhat important, but to me, I don't really care. What I want to see is I want to see the fights. And I want to hear good commentating. I don't want to hear commentators, you know, step on each other's toes. Years ago when we had Jerry Millen on this program, Jerry Millen said that commentators should be like wallpaper. You know that they're there. They just blend in the background. And with Daniel Cormier and John Anik, I thought it was better. I thought it was a better two-man team or better a commentating team than when we see with, you know, Dom Cruz and this guy and this guy and that guy who's got three people. What the hell? UFC blocked your video because it may contain content that they own. Damn you, UFC. This is on ESPN. This is on YouTube. This is not, I'm not taking this. This is ridiculous. What an embarrassment. You want to talk about censorship here? The UFC is censoring me as we speak. They didn't approve my press pass to go to or press credential application to attend this event, and now they're coming after me now because of the copyright, some crap. But this is already on YouTube. If the UFC doesn't want highlights of the Brooklyn fight night last night, then why don't they take it off? Why don't they have their army of lawyers get it out of there? Come on, this is absolutely ridiculous. You see what I'm saying here? This is how the UFC is regressive. What the hell? My live video has been stopped? You got to be kidding me. All right, hopefully those are still listening on Blog Talk Radio. I don't know why. Are you kidding me? They got me shut down already? What is going on here? This is absolutely ridiculous. This is ridiculous. All right, I don't know. The Facebook live stream has been shut down. The UFC apparently has shut down my Facebook live stream. I don't know. Listen, this stuff is available on YouTube, and you know, if it's available on YouTube, I don't see why I wouldn't be able to use it for a live stream, but whatever. I don't know. Maybe they'll give me some sort of email or give me some sort of a reason why. You notice the censorship is really, really creeping up here, folks. You notice how, you know, people now are being banned left and right from Twitter, and this stuff is happening, all this stuff. I'm telling you, the UFC and the powers that be want to crack down so that they can continue to satisfy their investors. They want no impediments. They want no troublemakers. They want no people like me. They want their tamed and groomed media out there to essentially regurgitate the message that they want them. They want the discussion on what they want. They don't want to have troublemakers out there. And that's what's happening now. And it's really, really unfortunate. So I'm assuming a lot of people are still listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. I don't know what happened with the live stream there. But it said the UFC had pulled my video because it was blocked content or I don't know. Absolutely ridiculous, folks. This is ridiculous. And we have UFC executives that listen to this program. I know that for a fact. So, guys, shape up, okay? What's going on over there? You got to accept all points of view. You guys should welcome independent points of view out there and try to use it as opposed to suppress it. It's really disgraceful. All right, so we're talking about the two-man booths and commentating and whatnot, and I liked it. You know, although I thought Daniel Cormier was a little bit overzealous last night with the submission attempts and whatnot, and you know he got overzealous a few different times. But overall, it was refreshing because I'm not a real big fan of the three-man booths. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't focus that much on commentating anyway and announcing anyway. It doesn't make that big of a deal to me. I mean, I enjoyed Mike Goldberg. By the way, the UFC, that kind of I think it was Anik and whatnot, that kind of stole some of Mike Goldberg's lines there about here we go, and they don't offer him any type of attribution there. And then Mike Goldberg responded, you know, what is it? What did he say? Copying is the ultimate form of flattery. You know that saying and whatnot. So, you know, overall from that standpoint, it was very, very good. I didn't mind that, and I think maybe the UFC should strive for that instead of trying to put too many people in the booth. In particular, Dominic Cruz and Michael Bisping. Although I don't mind Bisping as a commentator, as a person, that's a different story. But Dominic Cruz is just, you know, his voice and his arrogance just really, really, really shines through there. So in that sense, it was pretty good. Another thing that the UFC, you know, just has to work on, and I know that there's obligations, and I know that, you know, that there's advertising and there's commercials and all this stuff, and they have to do certain things, but they have to speed up the pace of these cards. And that's one thing that I could tell. I mean, when we were watching the UFC prelims yesterday, they you know, they were averaging about one fight per 40 minutes, okay? And, you know, so they were just burning through time. And, you know, before you know it, it's 10 o'clock already on the East Coast. And, you know, they've got how many fights do they have on the main card? But, yeah, five, six fights and whatnot. And they sped it up a little bit during the main card. But the UFC on ESPN, just for the viewer's sake, they should try to have at least three or four fights an hour. All right, don't put too much filler in. You know, try to get as many fights as possible to make it a little bit more tolerable for you know, people like myself and others. You know, that may have obligations at 12 a.m. or may have to go to sleep at 12 a.m. You know. So that was just something that I noticed. But overall, it wasn't that bad when we you know, when we reached the main card. So definitely a lot of three or four fights they were averaging seemingly each hour and whatnot. And so, all right, yeah. So that was another thing that you know, just from a operation standpoint, is worth mentioning there. Some other stuff that stuck out, I mean, you know, you had the fight card itself, obviously, and this was an okay card. I mean, you know, I have not subscribed to ESPN Plus yet, okay? Now, I have Fight Pass, UFC Fight Pass, and the only reason why I have Fight Pass now is because of Invicta. But somebody was telling me earlier that you can get ESPN Plus and you can get Fight Pass. If you have Fight Pass, you can get ESPN Plus for $4.99, for $5. And that's not bad. So for $10 a month, I would get both ESPN Plus and Fight Pass. I'm not sure if that's a limited thing or if they're going to do that you know, going forward and whatnot. But, you know, when I heard that, I may consider getting it. I don't know. I just have to get used to it. I have to go to the website. I have to see the application. You know, I have to get used to it. I don't mind spending $5 a month for this, especially since there's going to be so much content now. The UFC is really, really increasing the amount of content, almost to the point of absurdity. But, you know, I may consider getting it going forwards. But as of today, I have not signed up to ESPN Plus, and I was able to watch this yesterday at a friend's house, and you know, I haven't been able to do it. But the fight card itself wasn't really anything to write home about. I mean, everybody was making a big deal about the Greg Hardy card, the Greg Hardy fight. How in the world can you have Greg Hardy fight? You had Ariel Helwani, who's just the absolute worst. Ariel Helwani, he's the fakest of them all. It's just absolutely pathetic. He's a little weasel. What did Ryan Von Doom call him? The mermaid. I don't know if that's Ryan Von Doom or it's that came from Rampage Jackson. But he's just such a little weasel, and this is all part of the game where, you know, he goes on one of these shows. I don't know what it was, and he was asked about Greg Hardy, and then he started saying how it was tone deaf and how blah blah blah, they can't have him on there, and he doesn't agree with it, yada yada yada, and they made such a big deal about it. Dana White, oh, I don't care what he thinks, and I don't care what, believe me, Dana White cares what he thinks, because if Dana White didn't like what Ariel thinks, if Dana White considered Ariel Helwani a threat to the UFC or his power, he wouldn't be on ESPN. He wouldn't be at all the press conferences. He wouldn't have all the access. He wouldn't be part of the promotional arm of the UFC and whatnot. And so, you know, he's talking about this, and then a couple, you know, the same day, if not a day later, he ends up interviewing Greg Hardy and kisses his ass. It was absolutely disgusting. But as far as me, I didn't have a problem with Greg Hardy on the card, because the UFC has had much worse. They had John Jones. UFC 32, they move an entire card to California to salvage John Jones' fight, to basically serve John Jones. And this is a guy, John Jones, who tested positive for Tyrenibol repeatedly after UFC 214, tested positive for long-term metabolites of Tyrenibol, which – you recall we had Dr. Michael Petro on this program, and you know, he was talking about long-term metabolites, how all that says is that he has done Tyrenibol. He has somehow ingested Tyrenibol, not within a few days, but actually within a matter of weeks or months since he tested positive. And so this whole, you know, this really defeats the argument. This really defeats the whole argument that John Jones could have this in his system for 7 years, because he, after UFC 232, he tested negative for Tyrenibol. He was tested by, I think it was VADA, and they tested negative. So, you know, John Jones was using steroids. It's really that simple. He's a drug cheat. He's someone who hit a pregnant lady and ran. He's a moral abomination. And yet the UFC has him, you know, headlining after Dana White said he would never be in the main event again. They have him, as part of UFC 232 and inconvenience everybody and give him a title shot. And he wins, of course, against Alexander Gustafsson. So that, to me, was a lot worse than having Greg Hardy on the card. And yet nobody in the MMA media has condemned John Jones. Nobody has walked away from John Jones because, you know, they're being led by the nose by the UFC. The UFC wants to protect John Jones. He's one of their last remaining, pay-per-view draws. And, to their satisfaction, UFC 232 did very good in terms of pay-per-views. It got over around 700,000 pay-per-view buys, which is very good considering, the pay-per-view year that the UFC had in 2018. Where, it was UFC 229 that was the highest grossing pay-per-view with 2.6 million buys approximately. So John Jones can still draw. All that controversy, all that stuff, ultimately did good for the UFC, was beneficial to the UFC. And so they protected him, and they'll continue to protect him no matter how many times he tests positive, no matter how many times he screws up outside of the competition, and the UFC compliant MMA media will go along with it. But someone like Greg Hardy, he's a lot less worse than John Jones and some of the other people on the UFC roster. I mean, give me a break. We could look at even Gustafsson. Gustafsson spent time in jail for assault. You've got, what's that guy's name? Volkan Ozdemir, still fighting an assault charge from a bar. I mean, UFC fighters are a lot of times troubled individuals, and they're violent individuals sometimes outside of the cage. I don't understand all the outrage when it comes to Greg Hardy and whatnot. So I didn't really care that he was on this fight, on this card, and I didn't really care about the Rachel Ostovich thing. It was more of a manufactured fake outrage from an illusionary MMA media and whatnot. So I didn't care about that, but I didn't get a chance to see the Greg Hardy fight. I understand he got disqualified because of a legal knee, and Dana White has said that he's going to give him another shot. Dana White said he still thinks he's a prospect. Dana White really likes him. He clearly really, really likes this guy. And is really going to bat for him. I mean, what this tells me is Alan Crowder was 8-3. Alan Crowder's not a top 20 heavyweight. It tells me that Greg Hardy may be a bust and whatnot, and he probably will be. It's a hard sport, and a lot of UFC prospects, a lot of people that the UFC push, actually turn out to be duds as of late, right? I mean, you've got this Ariane Lipsky. I was pointing out, and I was kind of going back and forth with our good friend Ryan Von Doom on Twitter. Not really back and forth, but he was saying, listen, he's been following her, and she's going to be, very, very good, and she's worth all the hype. And I'm like, we'll see. And she didn't. I mean, she looked really overwhelmed and overmatched on the ground by Calderwood, who got dominated by, what's her name? Cynthia Calvillo, so there are levels to this game. I hate to keep on repeating that, but that's true. And, the UFC, they'll get behind somebody and for whatever reason, and that person will turn out to be a real bust. Not saying Lipsky is going to be a bust, not saying that Greg Hardy is going to be a bust, but you know what? Judging by their performances, I don't think they're going to really pan out to anything anytime soon. Who knows? Nobody has a crystal ball. Another fight that really sticks out to me, this wasn't on the main card, but this was the main event of the prelims, was Cowboy Cerrone versus this guy, what's his name, Alex Hernandez, right? This fighter out of Texas, real brash, cocky fighter. And I got to tell you, I watched the UFC press conference, and it really irks me to the extent to which that this guy, Alex Hernandez, tried to be controversial, tried to be insulting, copied this shtick that Colby Covington does, and whatnot to just say the most offensive and outrageous things and try to gin up ratings and try to, you know, increase social media imprints and whatnot. And it was just, he was just trying too hard. It was really offensive. I can't stand that when people try too hard to be that heel. It's just really offensive to me. And, you know, I thought going into this fight that, you know, this guy Alex Fernandez was a hot prospect and could really, really, really do something. But, you know, the hype and the talk was definitely separate from his actual skill, or at least the result against Donald Cowboy. I was happy to see Cowboy when I was kind of rooting for Cowboy, even though I've been very critical of him. He's another guy, talk about unstable people outside of the cage, no question about it. Although he just had a child, and hopefully for his sake, he's you know, kind of calming down there. But I was happy that he was able to beat up this kid and beat him up pretty good and still look pretty good there, dropping a weight class, going down to 155 and having his 40th fight now in the UFC, because it shows that maybe, and Cowboy said this in the post-fight press conference that he did, you know, be yourself. Don't try to be controversial. Don't try to talk trash. Don't do this. Don't do that, and you know, then people will follow you, as opposed to just trying to create controversy and just trying to, you know, talk the loudest and insult the meanest and whatnot or whatever. And so that was really, really refreshing. It's good to see that Cowboy wants to fight somebody now in the top eight, and there's a good chance that they'll have him fight a lot of fighters in that division. Very competitive division. There's a lot of fighters out there that would really, really give Cowboy a good fight and, you know, provide a very, very entertaining experience for the fans out there. So I was glad to see Cowboy win to hopefully humble that kid, Alex Hernandez, you know, who looks a strong fighter, looks to be a strong striker and strong wrestler and whatnot. But, you know, it was good to see that. What else? Rachel Ostovich versus Paige VanZant. That wasn't surprised by the result there. I question as to whether or not Rachel Ostovich was really at the UFC level. You know, she's a 4-4 fighter, which, you know, again, you could have 500 female fighters that are a lot better than what their record may indicate. You know, Raquel Pennington is, you know, something like 9-8 or something like that, but she's a very good fighter, you know, so. But I didn't think that she was going to be able to win, and I kind of predicted that she would lose via submission to Paige VanZant. Paige VanZant, who, again, is another example of somebody the UFC has really pushed and may have a lot of Facebook followers or a lot of Twitter followers and get the appearance on, you know, Good Morning America and whatnot. But really, what does that translate to? I mean, you know, she's not a pay-per-view draw. She never will be. And arguably, you know, she doesn't have the skill. No, I don't think arguably she doesn't have the talent and the skill as, you know, a top 10 fighter in that division and whatnot. So that wasn't really surprising there. What else here? Gregor Gillespie. I didn't see that fight, but I heard it was a real snoozer. I heard, you know, it wasn't that impressive of an affair. I think he won via TKO. We were either in a second or third round and whatnot. And, you know, that's a guy in Gregor Gillespie who doesn't like to talk. He doesn't even like to look at his opponents during the weigh-in. He's a very, very good fighter, a very good wrestler and grappler. And that's how he wins his fights. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll be fighting for a championship sometime soon. He seems very content with what he's doing there, and he should be. I believe he's undefeated. So good for him. And you saw his Long Island brother in there. Guys like, who is it? Al and John Vellante, all those Long Island guys. They are supporting them in practically their backyard of Brooklyn. And so congratulations to him. And we're going to see, you know, where he goes in the lightweight division there. Who else? What else do we have on the – yeah, I talked about the co-main event, the main event, I saw the highlights of. I didn't see all of it. TJ Dillashaw. I thought TJ Dillashaw's reaction to this loss was terrible. I thought he was almost in denial about what happened. You know, blaming this, you know, the referee saying it was a bad stoppage. Listen, it may have been a tad early, okay, but it wasn't an egregious stoppage. I mean, there have been so many more egregious stoppages where you ask yourself, what the hell is this referee doing? You know, they just literally robbed this fight. This wasn't an all-out robbery. You know, he was hurt. He seemingly face-planted on the mat. And, you know, Cejudo just was landing shots. And he said that he felt them go limp, and he looked out. And so the referee stopped it. Maybe it could have went on a second or two more. I don't know. TJ Dillashaw said he was working on a single leg. He was trying to – he was recovering. He told the referee he was okay. It just – he said, you know, I didn't lose the fight. It was taken from me. And he just seemed to be in denial. I thought Cody Gibson had a very, very good tweet when he said, you know, you win, you be humble. You lose, you take it like a man. And I didn't see that from TJ Dillashaw. And I'll tell you one thing that I've noticed with Henry Cejudo. And by the way, Eddie may be pissed at me. Eddie Goldman has referred to Henry Cejudo as a bonehead. And maybe he is a bonehead. I don't know. He's definitely got a very, very large head for a very small man. Although supposedly he is a very, very big, not strawweight. What's the division he fights in? No, strawweight is 115. He's a big, big featherweight. And whatnot. And he says he walks around about 145, 150, and whatnot. And I think that Henry Cejudo is really pissed off Dana White. And I think if you look at Dana White's reaction to that fight afterwards, you know, during the press conference, Dana White talked about, you know, it was a bad stoppage, and he seemed to emphasize more on the stoppage than Henry Cejudo's performance, which tells me that Henry has probably struck a nerve with Dana, and you know, this whole flyweight division, getting rid of the flyweight division, it's definitely something Dana White doesn't want to address, and he may have to eat crow there and continue to have the flyweight division, because TJ Dillashaw came out and said, you know, I don't want to fight Henry unless it's at the flyweight division. You know, I prepared, I worked 12 weeks, blah, blah, blah. I want to fight him at the featherweight division. I don't want him to go up and whatnot. So, you know, I mean, you also had Joseph Benavidez on the card. That was a very, very good grappling match. And very exciting fight against you know, Dustin Ortiz. And so, you know, there's life in the featherweight division. And it was really kind of encouraging to see Henry win, you know, considering all of the turmoil with that division as well. And so that was my big takeaway. I mean, I just didn't like TJ's attitude after that fight. And TJ's the type of guy, you either like him or you don't. You know, he's got a very polarizing personality, and that's the way he is. I think he's a very good fighter. I think he's a very, very smart person when it comes to fighting and whatnot. But, you know, look, he lost, and, you know, we're going to have to see what happens now. You know, he was arguably getting too ahead of himself even going into that fight, talking about fighting Max Holloway and just, you know, almost believing he's invincible. And that's what happens with a lot of these fighters. And I got to tell you, even with Henry Cejudo, and I called this, you know, I started to see Henry really rebound when he fought Wilson Hayes, and you could tell that he wasn't the same fighter that got obliterated by Demetrius Johnson a couple of years ago. You could tell he's improved. And as I said before, you know, mixed martial arts is a sport of streaks. It's a sport of who's hot in the moment right now, you know? And Henry Cejudo is definitely hot, but Henry started to go off during the press conference yesterday and, you know, talk about, you know, his legacy, how great he is, and he's definitely a great fighter. But I think sometimes, and there's nothing really to prove this, but I think sometimes these fighters can inflate their own ego and potentially could hurt them down the line, you know, when they get caught, because everybody loses in mixed martial arts. And everybody's capable of losing at any given time, no matter what they've done. You know, in mixed martial arts, you're only as good as the last second of the fight. And anything could happen during that second. You know, even a druggie like John Jones. John Jones could potentially lose. You know, he could potentially – there's a lot of guys maybe in the light heavyweight division that could beat John Jones. All it takes is one punch. You know, I don't think this squash match coming up for Anthony Smith is going to do anything to dethrone him. But there are other people in that division, other fighters that could win. And, you know, so I just think, again, you know, fighters, they could sometimes be their worst enemy and whatnot. So that was really, really it. A thunderous success, according to Dana White. They murdered expectations, according to Dana White. I don't know, folks. We'll have to see. I don't know how many people are going to subscribe to ESPN Plus to watch the UFC, because I got to tell you, one of the things that I heard about from a lot of people on Twitter is that they were disappointed that the prelims were on ESPN and then you had to go to ESPN Plus. Like, why couldn't they just have the fights on ESPN2? You know, I mean, it's just kind of, it's multiple different platforms here, multiple platforms. And we may not need to do that. You know, it could turn some fans off of that and whatnot, but we'll have to see. You know, this wasn't the biggest card. Let's not forget they struggled to get a main event for this card. They struggled with, you know, initially it was supposed to be Askren versus Lawler, and it wasn't easy for them. And, you know, we'll have to see what happens. And like I said earlier, they have a lot of programming. I think 15 or 16 events. Just a bunch of MMA that it's going to be difficult to really, really keep up with. With that said, what else do we have here? I don't really have anything notes-wise. I just have a bunch of stuff here on Twitter that I'm looking at now. I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed that the UFC has essentially censored me, and they've stopped my live podcast. UFC blocked their video because they contend content that they own. That's ridiculous, folks. That is absolutely ridiculous. Your content is no longer viewable on Facebook in the specified territories. If you submit a dispute, your content may be restored. Let's see. I'm going to submit a dispute. I am going to submit a dispute, God damn it. Okay, this is absurd. All right, yeah. Okay, well, I'll explain why after I do the podcast. See, folks, I have the ability to multitask. I could do anything. I could multitask. I could respond to texts. I don't have a producer. I don't have these fancy, all these drops. And people think that that's radio. You know, they think that the drops and having a fancy song at the beginning of the show is radio. It's not, folks. You got to have a good personality. You got to have someone that speaks the truth, okay, speaks truth to power, it's not fake, and has integrity first. And that's why Carson's Corner is your number one choice. It has been for quite some time, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, you wouldn't believe how much multitasking I have to do, you know. And I just decided to do a show about a half hour ago. I knew I wanted to do a show today. It's like freaking so cold here. It's windy. You can hear the wind in the back of me. It's very windy here on the Atlantic Ocean, which is practically where I'm broadcasting. I'm practically broadcasting on the beach, folks. It's really, really, really something. But it's very, very windy, and it's very cold. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do tonight. And my roommates actually want to take me out to a strip club, and I may go. I haven't been to a strip club in 10 years, folks. I have no desire really to go to strip clubs on my own, but if a couple people invite me, sure, I may go. You know, I don't know what's going on, so I may do that. But it's getting very cold outside, and I just decided like a half hour ago, okay, I'm going to do the show at 7:30. So I was supposed to come on the air at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, but then I had a problem with my OBS, my Facebook Live feed. I couldn't connect to the server, and I couldn't figure out what it was, so I watched one of these YouTube videos and explained to me how to troubleshoot it, so I got back up, and then I rescheduled the show for 8 p.m., and I was on the live feed on Facebook, and the UFC blocked my content. What a disgrace. What an embarrassment. But it just shows you, you know, I'm dealing with all this stuff while I'm broadcasting to you folks all around the world and whatnot. We've got about 10 minutes left here on the program. There's a couple Bellator events that are coming up in February next month at the Mohegan Sun. And I'm trying to get in to see some of these events here. I'm trying to apply for press passes. We'll see what happens there. Should be fun. One of the Bellator events features Matt Mitrione versus Sergey Karatanov. And then the other main event for the other Bellator, I don't have the Bellator names in front of me, but it's MVP versus Paul Daly. And that should be a pretty, pretty interesting fight. That's a fight that has been a long time in the making, folks. All right. So we got Bellator that's having these back-to-back events, just like they did last month in Hawaii. As I mentioned, you know, you've got a lot of UFC content coming up, almost overwhelming. And this is one of the mistakes I think the UFC is making, putting out too much stuff, too much content out there. And, you know, they're just trying to fill television obligations. But that may not be the right approach. You know, they could have a lot less shows and still be very, very effective, because eventually and I think they have to a certain extent, they'll dilute their product. And you put too much out there and you know, you give people too much and it loses its significance. Just my opinion. You know, we can argue that all day long, folks. All right. What else do I got going on here in my personal life, which is not hidden from you people, right? Bob Carson has always been an open book. What you see is what you get, ladies and gentlemen. I went to one of these weight loss doctors the other day, a free consultation I had. And, you know, I just knew as soon as I walked in this office that this is not the place for me. I don't know what it is. This is probably more my fault than anything else, but I have difficulty relating to certain people. I would say I have difficulty relating to most people in my life, but you know, there are certain people that you get along with and certain people you don't. There are certain people that are your people, and then there are certain people that are not your people. And I step into this doctor's office, and you know, just the staff there was all I could tell right off the bat. It was all upper middle class, you know, wealthy, all the people that, you know, are real appearance conscious, and you know, just not. I just knew it wasn't my place to be. You know, sometimes I like being around other poor people. I like being around poor people because you know, sometimes those are the realest among us. You know. And, you know, who knows? I mean, everybody's different. I understand that. So I spoke to this consultant. She brought me in there, and it was just nothing. You know, like she was kind of talking at me. We weren't really it was just kind of like an uncomfortable experience. And I'm not saying it was her fault. It you know, maybe it was me. I don't know. But it just, you know, she was giving me this whole pitch about, you know, the clients that they've helped and showing me pictures. A lot of it was rehearsed. And all the stuff. And then come to find out that it's $2,700 for 12 weeks. $2,700 for 12 weeks, which is essentially 3 months, and it's $900 a month. And at that point, I had to get the hell out of there. I almost had a heart attack there. I'm like, wow. I mean, I can't even afford anywhere near that amount of money. And I've been through weight loss programs before with doctors. You know, this is not the first time I've been under the care of a doctor. And I don't, you know, I don't like to go the route of appetite suppressants. I like meal replacements, meal supplements, you know. And I wasn't spending anywhere near that when I was with this one doctor. I was at, it was just $2,700. I just got the hell out of there. So I'm back to square one now. I got to find a diet that works for me. And, you know, I got to reclaim my health for 2019, folks. That's what it is. It's all about reclaiming your priorities for this new year now and whatnot. And nobody ever keeps up, abides by their New Year's resolution. Nobody does. Everybody breaks it. It's the way it is, folks. All right. We got about 5 minutes left. I'm going to probably wrap up the show soon. But I want to tell you how you could keep up with me. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. That's twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. Friend me on Facebook. Just type in Bob Carson MMA or facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. And Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner. That's blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner. We're also on YouTube as well. Just type in Carson's Corner or youtube.com/, I believe it's Bob Carson MMA on YouTube as well. We upload some videos up there. And that's it, man. Don't be shy. Please reach out to me. Show some respect. Okay, please be respectful. And please spread the word of the show around. And please, you know, don't get bogged down by some of the negative rhetoric on the forums here that we see so often. By the way, I'm still banned from the Underground Forum. Can you believe that? I'm still banned. And I don't really care at this point. Twitter is much more effective. The Underground is a sea of negativity with trolls using gay slurs. And as I said earlier, the censorship is on another level now, folks. The UFC can no longer afford to have people out there like myself who, you know, by virtue of my beliefs can get people talking about something they don't want to talk about. That's it. They need to have a compliant and obedient media, which is why we see geeks and nerds out there, just pathetic people, like this slob Morgan. You see this slob Morgan? Oh, my God, he's just absolutely horrendous. This clown from MMA Junkie, just laughable. These people are just so laughable, folks. They're the absolute worst. And the UFC needs them. You know, they need them because at the end of the day, UFC doesn't care about them either. They're trying to go after the larger markets and whatnot. And, you know, they want to appeal to, you know, the casual fan out there. And they don't need these people. At least they don't think they do. And so that's it. All right, I got to go to the bathroom now, folks. But like I said, please keep in contact with me. Please follow me and spread the word of the show around. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.